mighty way. So, Lord, I pray this morning through your Holy Spirit, you would just reveal yourself. Lord, through your word would be our teacher. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me, and just only through the Holy Spirit, I would just speak your words, Lord. Each heart would be open, and you'd speak a special message to each person, word of encouragement. In these times that we can look to you and not have any fear, but just rejoice in you continually. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is where we're going to start. And we've been kind of flowing through the book and just looking at highlighting some things. So let's look this morning at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, this is hallelujah. When I woke up this morning, I looked at this, and my first thought as I was getting ready, I said, you know, Lord, I haven't done a lot of rejoicing this week. so it's convicting, so I wanted to confess that to you, so we're in the same boat. You probably did more rejoicing than I did. But this is a very clear scripture. You know, it's a great memory verse. You know, it's a great memory verse. But this truly is what the Lord is telling us, those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's telling us. Now, you look at the book of Philippians, and a couple of things really interesting about the book. The book, of all the other books in the New Testament, was specifically written to a church that was well-established and didn't have many issues, all right? Most of the letters are written, you know, to these churches correcting issues, and that's where we get our teaching, because they're correcting issues and clarifying things, so they teach us and clarify us. This one is more consistently a letter of encouragement. And they're kind of saying, you guys are doing really well. Now I want to share some things with you to help you move farther. All right? And so that's what it's looking at. And so what we have shown, so Philippians doesn't go over certain things, like foundational things. For instance, like the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and we believe on him, and we're forgiven. He died in our place. He was perfect, sinless, didn't do anything wrong, and he went to the cross to die for our sins. He became sin for us. Therefore, we were washed clean, and we were totally forgiven. Foundational Christian truth right there. Philippians doesn't talk about it, because it's assuming we already know that. He's not going to repeat it. So he said, I'm using this foundation. I'm going to tell you more things that are built on that truth, that you are forgiven and you're in my kingdom. And then we saw information that said, listen, you should have the mind of Christ. He's done this for you. You should have the mind of Christ. You have Christ in you. You should let Christ live through you. You are a citizen of heaven. So it's all positive of how we move forward with the salvation we have by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where this, so I want us to grab hold of that as we move forward, because that's what the letter assumes. So based on that knowledge and the information we have, amen, this is what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You've got lots of stuff. Rejoice. This isn't an isolated verse just to pull out and start the morning off, right? No, this is a verse saying, no, we realize who we are in Christ. We realize we're forgiven. We realize we have the power of Christ. We realize that we can walk in Christ. Therefore, we rejoice because we know that. Amen? If you do, just take it on its own. Just say, rejoice in the Lord. All right, I'll give it one more shot. No, it's because of what he has told us. And we're going, oh my gosh, we rejoice in the Lord because we're comprehending who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And we are being called as citizens of heaven with this information to rejoice no matter what the world throws at us. We rejoice because we know who we are and we know God is doing something, so we rejoice. There's a reason for the rejoicing. Reason for the rejoicing. And it confirms something else. Those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're different. We're different, okay? I would never do this. Why are these people doing this? You're different. How could they think that? I would never imagine. We're different. Because all of a sudden we're seeing things from God's perspective, from Jesus' perspective, with the power of the Lord Jesus within us. We're different. And we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. And so, as he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Look at the next verse. Those that are rejoicing, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. We're reasonable people. Let our reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I'm going to say it a different way before I kind of explain this. Say, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at the door. It's just like, no, he's at the door. He's at the door. And so what we know and the reasonableness we receive from God, we're moving forward. The Lord's at the door. We're not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. Now, I want to touch on this. It's all these, by the way, are great memory verses. You want to pick up good memory verses, memorize any one of these. But again, realize it's connected, assuming a lot of information that we have put our trust in Christ. The word reasonableness, and most Bibles translate it reasonableness. If you look, whatever translation, that's the original Greek word, they'll translate it reasonableness. But when you look it up, it's one of those words, and it'll say this, if you want to look at it. It says, this word is hard to translate from the Greek because we don't have a particular English word for that. So they have this word, and when we try to translate it, we don't have a single word. And so most Bibles say reasonableness, which is good. But look at what it really means in the literal. It means, go with me on this. It means involved in the willingness to yield one's personal rights. That's what it means. You're translating the scripture from the Greek, and you're going, man, that's a tough sentence, So they come reasonableness. But when you look at, let who you are be shown by yielding your personal rights and consider others better than yourself. It's reasonableness. And why do we have this reasonableness? Okay, because a lot of these people we deal with are not reasonable, and we're going to yield our rights. But these people, these situations, and how do you yield your rights? But it really is, that's what it's saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And yield your personal rights and let it be known to everyone. But who are we? Who are we? We are the ones that are forgiven, that have the mind of Christ, and have the power of Christ working through us. So we yield our rights to, not that individual, we yield our rights to God. You follow me? Lord, you show me, you teach me, you tell me what to say, what to do. We yield our rights. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll fix this, and I'll tell them, and I'll take care of this, and they don't know this, and we'll impart our wisdom. Thus we have the world we live in. But the church, and sometimes the church tries to do that. I'll just impart my wisdom. I'll tell them what I say, and I'll, make it happen. And by the way, if you ever watch Jesus, he never did do that, if you notice. And so what the Bible is telling us here, and what he's told us in the first three chapters, is he didn't do that. You have the mind of Christ. Let Christ work through you. Call upon Christ to work in the situation. Just like Jesus called upon God for God to work through his situations. Jesus says, I never did anything on my own. I just did what the Father told me. Really? What's God telling us? Be like Jesus. Just do what I tell you. Now, so this thing is loaded, right? And the Greeks had a word for it. We go reasonably. But it really is. We're going to rejoice, and we're rejoicing in the Lord. So what we're going to do is yield our rights to God in every situation. Amen? Because why? Read the next sentence. Because why? Read it out loud. The Lord's at hand. You see what he's saying there? I mean, this is powerful. Rejoice. The Lord's at hand. Okay, give up your right. The Lord's at hand. You know, he's right at the door. Because as we walk in our Christian life, the Lord is at hand. And that's what he's telling us. That's what he's told us in the first three chapters. But now he says rejoice. Why? Because of that. You give up your rights. See, if we have our own, they hurt my feelings. They said this to me. God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to send them an email. In fact, I'm going to copy the whole church on my email. You know, I'm so offended. Or you know how we can do those. And we hold that just before we touch. Enter, you know, it's like, I don't know if I should or not. But that's standing up for our rights. They can't say that to me. They can't do that to me. Whereas you give up your, Lord, I give that to you. You guide me in what to do. Because the Lord's at hand. Amen? Now, this is powerful. Now, again, I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to drive it. Who's he writing to? A lot of immature Christians just came to know the Lord. They don't know up from down. Okay? That's not who he's writing to. I'm writing to a church that's doing well and has mature people in it. And this is how you're supposed to behave and carry and encourage people to come up to the level of serving Christ. So it's a powerful verse. Now, so as we look at it, what the Bible is also telling us is that we should be encouraged to experience the power of the resurrection. Now, the power of the resurrection was told to us in Philippians 3:10. So he's already told us about it. I want you to walk in the power of the resurrection, which is what the power that resurrected Christ, who's in you, that's going to give you that power to live the Christian life because you're listening to God and doing what he says. So he says right here, you know, I want you to live that power of the resurrection by yielding your rights to me and letting me work through you to do what I want to do. Paul's words are saying that the Lord is always near his people, continually at hand. Isn't that encouraging? That's a truth. That's a truth. And what he's telling us, he's, I want you to live like it's true. It's true, but he's letting us know, so we'll live like it's true. And so our reasonableness, we are reasonable and we yield the right. Our reasonableness is due to the fact of God's mighty, invisible hand moving in our current situation. I want you to think about that. See, and this is big to me. I don't know if it's big to you. Like, these verses, rejoice in the Lord always. And to me, it's like, yeah, that's a kick in the head, you know? I mean, that's impossible. You know, what a crazy verse. And it is. This is a crazy verse. Taken in context, it's a powerful verse. All this is happening to me. Everything's happening to me. And it is happening to you. You know, rejoice. I mean, the Lord says, I'll just rejoice. But that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying all this is stuff happening. All this is happening. But I want you to live in the power of the resurrection. In it. And as you trust me in it, and you see the God of the universe, you see his invisible hands working in it because he's at hand. Therefore, you yield your rights. It's all a matter of trusting God, and he's working in the situation, and he's doing more than you can imagine. Amen? That's how you take this verse. Don't take it by itself. Amen? That's why. And so you see this, and it really is powerful. Yield your personal rights because the Lord's at hand. And He can do it better than you can. Shocker? That's what He's saying. Now again, this is chapter 4. First three chapters and all the New Testament prepare us for this. We don't start here. This is where we end up. So, the next verse fits perfectly. Isn't it amazing how God can just fit the next verse perfectly? Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now just stop there. Why? We'll just memorize that verse. Put it on the refrigerator. Do not be anxious for anything. And then after a while, you know, you're mad at your husband, you whipped the kids, and you called your boss and quit. Because everything's going wrong, you know. And the truth of it is, everything is going wrong. But what is the context of this? Don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because God's got it. God's at hand. That's why we're not anxious about anything. So here we go. I got carried away. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You take that bundle of junk that's driving you crazy, and you put it at the throne. And He'll take care of it. And we're rejoicing because He's got it. We don't. He's at hand. He's leading. He's powering. We're walking step with Him, and things are happening. Rejoice. Rejoice. That's where the rejoice comes from. So, by the way, this is not positive thinking or failure to face facts. Oh, you know, don't have enough money to pay the rent. Praise Jesus. Just move on. You know, just rejoice. No, you don't know anything about the Bible. You say that. God didn't tell you to rejoice in that. He told you to rejoice in Him because He's at hand, and not worry about it because you give it to Him and He will work. And the rejoices is Him who created the universe, and that is not positive thinking. That's the truth. He who spoke the word and created all things can speak the word and take care of your little problem. It's truth. See, it's not a failure to face facts. It is facing facts. God is in this. God is doing something. Amen? So it's like, oh my goodness. So this is really powerful when you look at it like that. Now, I love this. As you can count, every once in a while I look up some of these words. Anxious says, do not be anxious about anything. So I'm not anxious. Anxious, the word literally means to have a distracting care. You gotta be kidding me. You have got, I had like five distracting cares before I got here this morning. Like, oh my God, you know, we're here. And, you know, and Linda, God bless her, she says, we're 5 minutes late. Oh, so my distracting cares are multiplied by the fact that I don't have time to get them done before I leave this morning. And I'm like, talking on rejoice of all things. You see? So it's, but look at what I say. No, you don't. You shouldn't have a distracting care about anything. But by prayer, supplication, prayer general, supplication specific, with thanksgiving, hallelujah for all this, you know, because the Lord's at hand. We make our requests known to God. Hey, God, this is yours. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm rejoicing in the Lord because it's His. And it's His responsibility to work through me, work around me, to carry out what He's doing. There's so much power in this, it's overwhelming. What is the hindrance? I'll use myself. What is the hindrance from God working that power through me? What's the hindrance in all this? It's me. I know. It's hard to admit that, isn't it? What's the hindrance of God working through you? I just you know, I don't know a lot of you. I know a lot of you, but I just know from it, it's you. It's you. But don't worry, I'm worse than you. You know, you're doing better than me. See? I mean, it's I'm struggling with this, and I got to come this morning and preach. I said, Lord, this. I started asking Linda to preach. She said, I'm not preaching. He said, because look, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. When I was preparing for it this week, it wasn't that bad. It just really, this morning, I thought, you got to be kidding me. You're kidding me. So here we have the truth here. So it's fascinating. So in our reasonableness, we're going next to the previous verse. In our reasonableness, we are to move from being anxious, having a distracting care, to prayer, laying everything at the foot of the throne. Knowing God has it, we are not anxious and we rejoice. Do you see how all those verses are tied together? The problem is knowing God has it. Us believing God has it. He's got it. It's us believing it. Knowing God has it, we are not anxious. There's no reason to be. And we rejoice because God has it. Because God has it. Now, this is a great benefit. Now, can you imagine how we would feel and behave if we were buying into all that? Because God has just stated a fact. That's what He's doing. He just wants us to step in and cooperate. Amen? See, I've already owned up to my problem. He can't get through to me that I'm not cooperating with what He's doing. And so it's really convicting. But if I do cooperate and I do see this, and I do rejoice, I do know the Lord's at hand, I do know that He's working, I have prayer, I put it at His throne, and now what would be my response? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, next verse. Then, if I do that, grasp that, live that out, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm peaceful. Totally peaceful. Why? Because I don't worry about anything. Why? Because it's at His throne. And I have a peace. I have a peace, it says here, that surpasses all understanding. No, but you can't even understand. I'm just so peaceful. Nothing bothers me. Nothing. No matter what I see on television, no matter what someone tells me, no matter what goes on, I have peace surpassing understanding. Therefore, I rejoice. I rejoice. See? And that, I have a reason to rejoice. I rejoice. I don't have a care because I gave it Him. And I trust He has it, and He's at the door, and He's going to take care of it. He's going to work things around me. He's going to work through me. I have full peace that passes all understanding in my heart and my mind. At peace. And that peace guards my heart and my mind. What are you worried about? Nothing. What are you upset about? Nothing. Well, that's crazy. Well, yeah, but when you trust in God and He's the creator of the universe, He brought me into His kingdom. He forgiven my sins and He's working through my life. No, that's my reasonableness. That I turn my rights over to Him. See? He just walk with me. Listen to me. And I will move. And His peace that surpasses all understanding, fill your mind and your heart. Amen? I mean, it's just amazing. Now, when we turn from anxiety to prayer with thanksgiving, God will give us peace. People say, well, how do you do this? What do you do? There it is. But it's a belief system, too. Do you believe God's real? Do you believe Christ is real? Do you believe Christ died for your sins? Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe Christ loves you? Do you believe God takes care of all things? Do you believe God is moving on your behalf? Do you believe God is moving through the whole world? I don't know. No peace. No peace. Because it really is a fault in your belief, in my belief. See? problem, I don't have peace, is my belief. Belief in what? Belief that God cares more than I can imagine. That God moves more than I can imagine. That God paid for all my sin and wants to move on my behalf. He loves me more than he loves me in an infinite way. See, you have peace. Peace. So you're like, oh my goodness. He's at hand. He has it. Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice. I've almost worked myself up to rejoice already. I've kind of got over this morning. I'm getting fired up. I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. He really has got this. And it's so powerful when we look at that. And then there's a peace that passes understanding. And so it's a peace that's beyond human comprehension. And by the way, if you have that peace, people will notice. Because they don't have it. By the way, the world doesn't have it. They do not have it at all. At all. They do not have it. And this peace guards our heart. Now this word, guard, I love it. It says guard your heart. That word guard is a military term. Like he says, okay, you know, Sergeant so-and-so, go guard that house. Yeah. It's military. That's the word used here. It's a military term. It's like an army will guard our hearts. A military army will guard our heart and our minds. And our minds. See, so it's like, okay. But what does he do to guard our mind and our heart? We rejoice. Because he has it. The Lord's at hand. We have peace that passes understanding. And the army guards our hearts. The army of God. See? And our minds. And our minds. So, that means also the peace, God's peace, guards our heart and mind against, and this is a killer. A lot of us are going, I can't believe it. This peace guards our heart and mind against all anxiety and despair. Rejoice. Why? Because he has it. There's only reason he has it. Because I gave it to him, I believe, I see who he is, and I'm starting to walk in it. And whatever circumstance is coming, he's moving, he's in it. And I'm in it because he knew I'd be in it, and he's guarding me as I trust in him and taking care of the circumstances while I'm in it. See, we make our requests known to God, and we have peace. We make our requests known to God, and we have peace because, look at Ephesians 3:20. We'll flip just right quick. Because, and they go to, I mean, Paul wrote both books, okay? All right. Because we make our requests known to God, and we have peace because, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. The Lord's at hand. He's in us. He's at hand. And we believe, because we believe this, right? Because this is how this happens. It's our belief system. It's our belief system. To him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think. More than we even... The peace is incomprehensible. Our requests don't even touch of what he's capable of, but we give what we know. But he's capable of more than we ask or think. I mean, this is infinite movement of God in our lives. And the funnel through which he works in our life is us. You see? And then we move in that, and we have peace, and we have hope, and he does what he wants to do, and he'll tell us what he wants to do. Who acted like that? Who did that perfectly? Jesus. I do nothing unless the Father tells me. He just act like me. It's like, Well, I mean, I got to be good as you. No, it has nothing to be good. You know, what it has to be is hear me and do what I say. You know, it's like, he means, what have you got to tell you something? And you move in. He didn't tell me that. See, he'll tell me something, and then I need to move in that and see him work in that. Because he speaks all of us as individuals in our situation, is he transforms us to be in his likeness. Hallelujah. Now again, I'm going to bring it up again. This is a church that was trucking along. You know, he's right in the right. Here's salvation. We'll go over it again for the 40th time. You know, this is the deity of Christ. Here's, you know, God. And those are good things, and those are powerful and belief. But Philippians, you've got that down. Now move in this. See, he's saying you've got that down. You got that down. So, what he says, which he told us in chapter 3, verse 20, he says, now we are to rejoice. To rejoice in the living, rejoice living in God's resurrection power, knowing the Lord is at hand. Now again, the message, living his resurrection power, is in Philippians 3:20. So you can go back and read it. So he's just repeating here. So what we are rejoicing in God's resurrection power, knowing the Lord is at hand. That's why we rejoice. Because God's doing something through us and around us. And we're central in what he's doing. And the point of this is to constantly see him, allow him to work through us, and have that relationship with him while he is doing it. Therefore, okay, y'all with me here? Okay, with me? All right. Now, here's a word. Now, Paul does a therefore. Now, you know what the therefore is there for? I mean, that's always pay attention to therefore. Because he told us all this stuff, all right? Now he's giving us a therefore, all right? So let's look at the therefore here. Based on our relationship with Christ, because what he just told us in the Bible, therefore our relationship with Christ, our focus changes. Our focus totally changes because of what Christ said. So, look at Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. And he says here, and this is where the therefore enters into that. He says, okay, or he starts off, the word should be translated, finally. So again, finally. You know, that's when he's saying, like, okay, the message is almost over. Finally. You know, and you hear a murmur. Amen. No, he's saying, finally. So have all this information. Finally, okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, that's who he's talking to. Finally, brothers. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Well, that's positive thinking and getting your mind right and, you know, good things happen to people who think good things. That is not what this is talking about. Think about these things, whatever you know about what God has done, how he has moved, how he's moved in your life, how he's moved around you. Because those are the only good things. That's the only truth. It's not the lie of the world. It is honorable what God does, and you think of the things of God, and what is just, and only true justice comes from God. Whatever is pure, the only one who is pure is God. Whatever is lovely, the fullness of loveliness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever is commendable, and the only thing commendable is what Christ has done. And if there's anything else you can think about, and if there's any excellent, because he is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, because he is praiseworthy, think about these things. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. We don't have any reason to be negative because of who God is and what he's doing. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. But he is goodness and truth. And he's called us into his kingdom, and he's going to work through us to be lights in this world. And if we have this belief system, we're going to be a light that nobody can comprehend. And how can you think that way? Because we have a big God doing big things. And that's why I do not fear. Now, again, it's not positive thinking or failure to face facts. This is experiencing the power of the resurrection and trusting the mighty, invisible hand of God to work in all situations. This is faith. Hearing God and doing what He says. This is faith. This is faith. Okay. Now, He gives us in verse 9 an application verse. Don't you love application verses? You know, application. Now, here's the application verse. Take all the stuff we just talked about. And when I say take this, you read the scripture and see what it tells you. I'm elaborating on what I see and what God has told me, but you just read it and see what it tells you. And now He leaves you with verse 9 based on what you've read. Philippians 4:9. What you have learned, where'd you learn it? Just the previous verses in the book of Philippians. All right? I slept through that. Well, you didn't learn anything. Okay? Okay. What you have learned and received, you know, you ever been teach kids like that? And you share something with them, they nod, repeat it back to you. Nod. You can't do anything you told them. They didn't receive it. They just parroted what you told them. All right? They didn't receive it. So, what you have learned and received and heard and seen, I want to say, have you ever seen somebody you've known in your Christian walk, seen something happen and seen God move in their life, and you think, wow, that's impressive. You saw something. God's shown you something in your life. Something. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's talking about this, practice these things. We had the message in a couple of weeks ago, and Paul was talking about Paul. What Paul said, he said, I haven't arrived, but I press on. This is what he's saying. Practice these things. No, we're not there. We're growing in it, but practice these things. Do you know something about the Christian? Do you know a little? Practice it. Practice it. And then you'll learn more. Practice. And then you'll learn more. And that's what he's saying. Apply what you know and you will grow in more things and you will know more things. Practice. Practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Now that's encouraging to me. He said, hey, you're practicing. I'm going to be with you. You got a long ways to go. But I'm going to be with you because you're trying. You're trying to take those steps that I've shown you specifically. You're moving forward, and I will be with you. Every step forward, I'll be with you. My wife and I every once in a while talk about, and this is, we just talk among each other about, and sometimes we're all about no one in this church or anybody here. The people we've known, they've never grown. They've never grown. We say, I don't understand how they've never grown. I believe they're a believer, but they really, you know, it's strange, isn't it? We're just kind of, you know, can't figure it out. Well, no, you have to practice these things. You can accept Christ, go to heaven without practicing any of this stuff. But to grow in the Lord, you have to step out in certain things. And I don't care what it is, I'm not even going to list them. But you step out into it. You step into it, and you practice them. And as you practice them, the Lord teaches you more, and you take another step, and He shows you more. And then as you get 20 years of the faith, you hope you're farther along than when you started. Why? Because your faith in the Lord grows. He says, grow in faith, grow in grace. Practice it. And that's what He's telling us here. So it's like, it pays attention to read this. Okay, that's great. But what you've learned, received, heard, seen, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you, right along with you the whole time as your teacher. And then we go back first. Then what are we doing? The older we get, the more time we spend with the Lord, we rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And because He continues. He doesn't leave us alone. And He's teaching us and encompassing us with things we never imagined. And we rejoice. And we learn to rejoice more and more and more because we see God. We see God, the mighty hand of God working. Amen? Hallelujah. God has not left us alone. Be encouraged. And He's put us in this world. It's like He has divinely placed us in this world. All right? And you say, God, it is really dark. You know, well, that I know it is. That's the reason I put you in it. That's why you're here, in it. And to be a light is trust in me and just do what I say. And then you're a light. And light dispels darkness. Did you know darkness doesn't dispel light? You can't throw light, darkness into light. It doesn't dispel it. Light always dispels darkness. Always. See? And He calls us light. And our light, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in Him. I start listening to Him, and it automatically dispels light. So, hallelujah. So, we look at this. So, let's just look at this right quickly. Summarizing, put these things into practice. So, we rejoice. We seek God in everything. We're not anxious because we've given everything to God in prayer. We have true peace because we've given everything to God in prayer. So, whatever is true, is honorable, just, and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, this is what we think about. Now, I'll tell you what the world will think about you. Right off, they think you're about half nuts. All right? In fact, you would look at, wouldn't you? And then they say, no, because we know something. We're not making something. We know something about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're rejoicing. And that's what we're thinking about. Don't be pulled in the gutter. Now, I'm going to close with this verse. And it summarizes the whole thing. Okay, it's going to summarize it, but you're going to go, really? But it does summarize the whole thing, how you step into this. How do you change your focus to step into this? And the Apostle Paul tells us how he did it. All right? It's Galatians 2:20. Paul said, now he's there. I mean, he's teaching us this. And so what he's telling us, this is kind of how he applies it. Galatians 2:20. He goes, I have been crucified with Christ. Yay, joy. What is that? You know? No, I have died to all things. Christ is the only thing. I've died the old thing. I have been crucified to Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's everything I said this morning. Everything I said this morning is in that verse. I've died to myself, and I let God, I cooperate with God what He's doing. It's not me. I've handed over my rights to God. I ask God. I know He's moving around. And I listen to what I move into it. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. That's the driving force in my life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes a person. Amen. It's our focus. Our focus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this rejoice. Okay? So let's just pray. Because, by the way, again, I want to repeat. God's done this. Okay, we're not trying to get it. He's done it. He's just letting us know so we can step into it and cooperate with what He's done. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your power. And we rejoice. All those songs that we sang and praise You about rejoicing to You, Your power and Your holiness and Your goodness, it's because of what You have done for us, that You love us so much. We can't even comprehend how much You love us, Lord. That You give Your only begotten Son. He paid the penalty for our sin. We are totally forgiven. And now He indwells us and He just wants to work through us. He wants us to love Him back. Call upon His name. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. And we give You praise and glory that we are truly the citizen of heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you.